God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your participation today. And every lady who is here today, every lady, look this way. We have a chance to be part of something that you only get to do a few times a year. That is, we're going to have and ask the ladies with some help to get up these steps, bring your burgundy book when you come, and we're going to sing for and in honor of our mothers, all the ladies singing for us today, a great familiar song. Among the top 10 songs out of our hymnal that are the favorites of every mom, the polls have consistently shown this song to be one of those favorites. And so I would like to ask the ladies, I'm going to venture forth and ask by faith that you step out by faith. You do not have to be an operatic singer, a soloist. Just be one that can sing in the choir and is willing. You are willing to sing in the choir. And we promise every one of us, we're going to smile, we're going to applaud, we're going to love every second because we're thinking about mom. And your beautiful music is going to soar to the angels. And angels, I mean, they're going to put down their harps and they're going to stop and just stop and listen for a minute to this beautiful music that you ladies are going to make. And you say, boy, you're laying it on thick. I want to have a good crowd up here today. All right, so you need to bring your burgundy hymnal with you. Bring your burgundy hymnal. And ladies, all at once, one, two, three, will you stand? And with assistance, if you need it, will you find your way into the choir loft? Come on, ladies, all the girls, all the ladies. Come on. Won't you come? Girls, you come on too. Girls, you come on too. Mama's telling you. You listen to Mama. All right. Mama's telling you. You come on. Don't make me come down and get you. All right. Come on. You don't want that. Come on, ladies. God bless you. God bless each of you. Number 271. 271 in the burgundy book. 271. We're going to sing all the verses. 271. 271. 271. Yes. 271. Come on, ladies. What a great looking group. Yeah, she can sit right down here. Give her a book. Amen. Amen. All right. Come on, ladies. Come on. God bless you. Come on. All right. Help her up. That's good. What a great looking choir. Amen. 271. 271. 271. Give me your prettiest voice. Now it is our joy to present the Ladies and Girls Choir of Central Baptist Church on this special occasion, Mother's Day 2024, as they sing one of the great all-time favorites in the hymnal, favorites of mothers everywhere, perhaps your mom's favorite, one of my mom's favorite songs. I want you to listen, and I want your heart to soar as our heart soars as well as they sing for us now, I Come to the Garden Alone. Thank you. Gentlemen, come and help the ladies down as they play through it again. Applause for our ladies and girls sang so beautifully today. And we are going to acknowledge, first of all, if you are a lady 18 years of age and older, I hope that you won't defer to admit to being 18 or older. But we have for you a beautiful, beautiful memento today. Every lady 18 and above is going to receive a Woman of God Walking by Faith mug, specially prepared for you today. So I need about two or three men to come and distribute these. And then let me also say, this goes to every person, every female, 18 and above. All right, just take a side and go up and down. And also, as you go out today, you'll receive a devotional booklet, ladies, and these same men will be handing these out at the door. Let's make sure, gentlemen, that the Hispanic ministry has the same service as well. Take the mugs to them and encourage them to come by and get their devotionals, and those that can read English will enjoy them. The pictures are beautiful, and so we'll have these at the door. The mugs you'll have today as you receive them. Please, please be careful. We don't want any fatalities on these mugs. All right? Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. Also, the ladies and attendants in the nursery and around the building, go ahead and give them as well. Go ahead and move out, guys. Take care of that. And then you can bring the remainder down here. I am glad to be able to say some kind words for moms. Now, yeah, save those buckets. Those belong to me. Set them right down there. Amen. Very good. Amen. Amen. There you go. Just right down here is fine. When we honor our mother, we keep in mind that there are some who have taken the place of mom. Grandma, aunt, perhaps an older sister, a caretaker, and some of you had the privilege of being raised by somebody other than your biological mother. Can I see the hands of those who were raised by others besides their biological mother? Yes. Don't you thank God for them? Need to say thank you to them if they're living, and if not, honor their memory as well and praise God for each one of them. Now, if you did not, as I said earlier, if you did not have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home with a godly mother, you still venerate mom, you still appreciate her or your caregiver, because they have filled a role that God has ordained. So important, that role of being a mom. And you can be a witness as long as they're alive and breathing. You can be a witness to them and win them to Christ. Go back and witness to them. Praise the Lord. Likewise, you can start your own godly legacy, as I preached last Sunday. So praise God for that. Let's go ahead and find out today how many moms we've got in the audience, how many moms we've got in the audience. If you are a mother, if you have a child, and you acknowledge that today, would you raise your hands, please? Raise your hands. Moms, all across here. All right, keep your hands up for just a moment. God bless you, moms. God bless you. All right, you may put your hands down. Let me ask you this. The ones you cared for are your children. So you might have 25 kids. I don't know. But that's possible. Whether you gave birth to them or not, your children, let's number them. How many of you, we know the moms had at least one child. How many of you had five children? or more. All right? All right. Anybody with 10 children? All right, let's back down. 9 children. Anybody with 9 children? 9 children. Anybody with 8 children? 8 children. Anybody with 7 children? How many, Desi?
I have 4 and I have 3 extra.
Okay, 7 children. Praise God. How many, Vicki?
6.
How many, Judy?
6.
All right. God bless all of you with all those kids, and we praise God for you. Let's give them a round of applause. And we're not going to forget the grandmas and the nanas and the nonas and the omas and the umas and the all the different names. If I were to ask you on 3 to give me the names that your grandkids call you, Grandma, it would sound like speaking in tongues, wouldn't it? We would have to have interpretation, wouldn't we? God bless you. How many? Now, grandmas, don't be upset that I asked this. It's wonderful to be a mom, but it's fantastic to be a grandparent, isn't it? All right, so all you grandmas, okay, whatever they call you, Nona, Nana, whatever, if you are a grandma, all right, would you slip your hand up right now, all the grandmas? Okay, look at the grandmas in here. Fantastic. Now, God bless you. Let's give them a round of applause, each and every one. We usually do this on Grandparents' Day, but I'll do it again today and on Father's Day. Of you grandmas, or whatever they call you, how many of you have 5 or more? All right, lots of hands. All right, let's go up to 10. How many of you have 10 grandkids? 10 grandkids. I got 1, 2 hands. All right. How many, Vicki?
10.
How many, Judy?
12.
That is wonderful. God bless all of you. Give them a big hand. Amen. Many times when we are thinking about grandparenting, we think about the privilege that we have to step into a place of caregiving, and it's like an extra bonus in the second half of our life. And now some of you are really here in the fourth quarter because your great-grandma. How many great-grandmas do we have? All right, got some great-grandmas, okay? Great-grandmas, okay? How many, let's give them a hand. Amen, great-grandma. And keep your hands up for a minute. Great-grandmas, how many of you got? How many of you got, Gene? 1, all right. How many got, Judy? 5 greats, okay. Yes, great grands. 3 and 2. Amen. God bless all of you. Let's give them a big hand once again. Isn't it thrilling to live long enough to see 3 generations? And you may have the privilege of being great, 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 great. You know, who knows how long that might be. I have a tribute I'd like to share. And then, sweetie, I want you to get the microphone and I'll bring you around here, okay, if it's all right. Bring your microphone around, along with your tribute. If you've got it, I want you to do that for me. I'll go first just because I can. My tribute to my mother, Evelyn Sineva Jacobson-Winiger. This is what I would say to her if I could speak to her now. You gave me life, Mom, and you told me of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life. You demonstrated and lived before me the abundant life, Mom. And I thank you, my dear mother. And I miss you today. I'll see you and Dad soon on the other side, because Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Sweetie, I want you to come on over here, if you would please. I want you to hold that mic up and talk about your mama.
When I talk about my mother, I generally say that, besides being a good mom in many ways, which I'm going to discuss briefly, but I saw her every morning in her Bible reading and praying for me and my sisters before we went to school. And it meant something to me then, but I was young and didn't understand a lot. But as I got older, how I appreciated those prayers. I knew she prayed for me, but to see her praying, and
yes,
she prayed with us too. And she was so many good things, like Proverbs 31. I went through Proverbs 31, which is very familiar to all of us, but I picked out several verses that picture my mom. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." And that is so true. My dad trusted my mom. They were both excellent parents. They were new Christians prior to when I was born, I believe. And so they were learning, but they were faithful. And they trusted each other, and they worked together as a team for us and for our good. Verse 15, "She riseth also while it is yet night," and gets all the work done, gets planning for the day. She wasn't lazy, never saw her sleeping in and lazy. "Strength and honor are her clothing," verse 25. She had spiritual strength, physical strength, and of course honor. Verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." She had a lot of wisdom. She had good standards. She had good answers for us. She was kind. I never heard a cruel word out of her mouth. She might have been upset with us or angry about a situation, but never was she cruel or harsh. Verse 27, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She was not idle. She was an excellent caregiver. She was an excellent homemaker. She was an excellent cook, laundress, all of the things. And she worked nonstop. I never saw her sit down and watch TV. Absolutely did not. I think they watched the news at night, but that's after we were in bed. She was a hard worker, and yet I never felt neglected. I never felt like her work was more important than me. She got it all done, and she showed love to us and included us. Verse 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." And we have done that, my sisters and I and my father. That verse is something that we actually shared with her and thanked her for. Verse 29, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." And in my heart and in my sister's, we all agree that my mother definitely excelled them all. Verse 30, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised."
Amen.
She was beautiful.
Amen.
My friends used to say she looked like a movie star. And but she was not conceited. She feared the Lord. She was a godly example. And what was wonderful is she prayed for me when she met him. When we started going to their church when we were teenagers, she prayed because she felt he was God's will for me. His mother prayed for me because she felt I was God's will for him. But they didn't tell each other, and they didn't tell us. We didn't know that.
How can you fight that, huh? Amen.
But I'm grateful, amen, that both of our mothers,
amen,
were godly and prayed for us and for our marriage. And I have to say that my mother-in-law was an excellent example of all of Proverbs 31, too. So I was very blessed, feel very blessed. And if you didn't have that kind of an upbringing, it's not too late for you to start.
Amen.
I already mentioned that. You can be somebody godly, a mother, a friend, a mentor, a neighbor to anyone around you.
Amen. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. Put it back here. Amen. It's always good to hear from First Lady Gwendolyn. And we've heard also from others as well who have shared their heart with respect to their moms. And I'm going to read a few excerpts because we got to move along in the service today. Kim Stewart, raise your hand, Kim. She says, "My mother Betty loves the Lord, loves her family and her friends. She is the most wonderful person you could ever know, has the bluest eyes, and continues to show us patience, wisdom, humor, and positivity in life. With love, Kim Stewart." And Frank is back in the booth, Frank Sell. "I would like to express my deepest gratitude to my mother. You have always been there to listen to me and give me advice. You believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself." How many of you could say that? Amen to that. "Without your love and support, I wouldn't be half the man I am today. I love you, Mom." That's wonderful. Back here, we have our poet laureate of the entire church is, of course, Tom Higgins. And he has a poem today, "My Blessed Mother." And if you don't mind, Tom, I'll read it. And I'm going to share it with them. Mother never yelled or screamed. She never blew or stacked. Just one stern look, it seemed, sent chills up and down your back. Mother was a kind and gentle lady, always willing to lend a hand, even though her clothes were fading, cooking, sewing, and loving her man. She had 7 brothers and 2 sisters, 5 sons, and a daughter gone before. She taught us to work even with blisters. We each and every one had our chores. She hung our shirts upon the line, and our pants and socks hung there too. She never had an automatic dryer. An old wringer washer for her would do. She loved us well and helped us study, took us to church 2 times on Sunday. Prayer meeting on midweek for Bible study. We went on visitation on a Thursday. Mother is gone to heaven now with Jesus. Her friends are up there with her too. And Dad is with her. There with Jesus, I dream of meeting them there very soon, by Tom Higgins. Let's give Tom a hand. Good job, buddy. Amen. Also has some cute things we'll share later on if we can. The scripture says we rise up and we call her blessed. And we are doing that today because, you know what? This proves that it can be done. By God's grace and for His glory, you can live a godly life, which will be a role model, an example for others who come along. Back in the back there, Vicki has written out by hand, and I'm going to try to read it. Mom took me to my first independent Baptist church. Her name was Anita T. Duffy. She's looking forward to going to heaven and seeing her again someday. And that's Vicki DeLacy. Mom's favorite psalm was Psalm 23. How many of you know that? The Lord is my what? Shepherd, I shall not want. In the back we have Tyler. Tyler, why don't you come on up? Grab that microphone, and I want you to share these two. Can you read these two? He wrote these, but I think he ought to share. How many of you believe that for the associate pastor to earn his keep, he needs to read his own poetry or his own? Okay. Here you go, buddy. Here you go. I'll put it right up here. Thank you, sir. All right. Tyler, Candy, you can go in either order you want to, and then I'll take that back when you're done.
Thank you, and the first one is to my mom, who is here today. I say, in the light of morning through the days of grace, Mom kneels by the cradle, prayer upon her face. With words of hope and strands of faith entwined, she molds my heart, my soul, my mind. Her hands, though worn, hold warmth and rest, her guidance pure, through life's rigorous test. She teaches love as Christ loved the least, her life a dedicated, unfolding feast. Through trials and joys, her steadfast way mirrors the love of God each day. With discipline gentle, yet firm and sure, her path is righteous, her heart is pure. So here's to you, my mom, my guide, in whom the fruits of faith abide. May this Mother's Day echo my love's claim, blessed be thy heart as God knows your name. The next one is to my wife, who is also a mother, and so I figured it would be appropriate to write for her as well.
Go ahead.
Every morning you rise, blessings to bestow, guiding our sons as they learn and grow. Your love a testament to God's grace, in every challenge they seek your embrace. In your laughter, God's joy is heard. In your guidance, His word is stirred. With faith that dances in your eyes, you teach our boys how to be wise. Through every trial you lead with prayer, showing them God's love is always there. Your spirit their beacon, your prayers their light, with you they feel His presence bright. So here's to you on this Mother's Day, for all the love you give and prayers you say. Our family is thriving under your care, with you God's love is everywhere.
Amen. Good job. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Of course, Tom has sent me more poetry, and I'll be sharing it as I have opportunity, Tom. And it's all good, and it would all be appropriate, but it would become the Tom Higgins Poetry Hour instead of Central Baptist Church. By the way, welcome to Central Baptist Church. We have these packets of material. Can I get the ushers to help us out? How many of you have never filled out one of these cards and received our packet of material? We got some guests, all right? So let's go ahead and distribute to our guests. Anybody here today that is a guest, it's good to have folks here. Some that are back for the second, third, fourth time, thank you so much. Fill that out, if you would, please, and place it on the offering plate when it's passed after a little while. And praise God, we thank Him for your coming today to be with us. I'll be singing later on a tribute to my mom. I sang it yesterday on the devotions from the Shepherd of the Sheep. I have a number of songs I wrote for my mom, and this one is when Mama prayed for me. And it starts out, "Heaven shook and hell just trembled when Mama prayed for me." Amen. It was Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, who said he did not believe there are enough devils in hell that could wrest away a child from a godly mother's embrace. And I believe that's true because the influence of a godly mother is so strong. It was Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist of the early 20th century, who said, if we're going to defeat the devil, we've got to hit him with the cradle. And I believe that. I believe we need to start young. We need to start early. We need to keep after it. We need to keep on and keep on. And God bless all of you moms and you grandmothers and you great-grandmothers and everyone else. We're all included in this message today because everybody had a mother, even though sometimes maybe our friends and foes might not think that we deserve such an origin, that maybe we crawled out from under something. But actually, we all had a mother. And probably today, we could learn something from her example. If she was a godly woman, if she was a principled woman, if she was a woman whose life was a picture of Jesus Christ, and certainly we can learn from her today. And all of you that are thankful for your mom today, say a hearty amen. 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 Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And fasten your seatbelt. We're going to move through this rapidly. All of the words that have been spoken have been meaningful words, and we are glad that we have had the opportunity today to speak about mom. There's nothing that we would take back, nothing that we would change. In Psalm 86 and verse number 11, we have a comparative verse, one that is a companion to the verse on the front of our bulletin, which is from the New Testament. We walk by faith, not by sight. Here in Psalm 86 and verse number 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." I love the scripture. Every syllable of it is inspired. Every bit of it has deeper meaning. And as I look at this, I thought to myself, first time I ever read it years ago, what does it mean in verse 11 when it says, "Unite my heart, unite my heart"? The Bible speaks of loving God with our whole heart. There's a reason for this verse saying, "Unite my heart," because you see, it's possible that we're going different directions, that we have a divided, confused, disconnected kind of spirit, that in our very deepest core, we don't have one single purpose, but instead we're being pulled apart. And if that describes you today, I want you to know that God has a single purpose and a plan, and He has one direction for you to go, and He will show you by His Spirit through His Word. I'm glad that all the Bible is inspired. I'm glad that all the Bible is true and preserved. I'm glad that my inspired Bible has not expired. I'm glad that I've got the Word of God and that it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it divides between soul and spirit. It divides between that which is truly spiritual and eternal and that which is merely emotional and of the moment. You say, "I want to go to a church where I feel good." But when you get done, how is that going to help you? You can go to church and jump and shout and dance and praise and do all of those things and go home smelling like a sweat sock and be no closer to God. But if you get into the Word, until the Word gets into you, it'll make an eternal difference from the inside out. And I want that eternal difference to be felt and seen and experienced in the lives of everybody around me. So I pray, as the psalmist has written, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." I want it all together. I want to fear the Lord in the sense of godly respect. And today we see examples, both those to be emulated and those to be avoided. We've sung about faith of our mothers. We've heard from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. We've heard from other passages of Scripture, now from the Psalms. And I want to remind you of four women in the Bible, four moms that we need to learn from. And we can do this whether we are a mom or not, whether we are a woman or not, whether we are an adult or not. We can learn some spiritual lessons. Lord, fill me now with the Spirit. Help me as I speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the whole Bible is inspired. How about you? I like going back to the book of Genesis because it is so real and it is so down to earth. And in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, after the creation of man from the dust of the earth, and God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and then he put a deep sleep upon Adam, we read in the first and second chapters of Genesis, and he took a rib from his side and formed a woman. Now, from the rib near the heart, not from the neck, to turn and to decide and to choose for the man, and not from the feet or the hands to do all the work and all the going for the man. But God created the woman from the rib near the heart so that she could influence the man and be a helpmeet. And that's what God desires. I know that sounds archaic, but you know what? What she was testifying to is absolutely true. My mom and her mom didn't get together, but they got together with God and they prayed for God's perfect will. And I'm going to tell you right now, next to my salvation, the most important decision I ever made in my life is who I was going to spend my life with. That is the second most important decision you will ever make in your life. After you have decided for Jesus Christ, the one who you spend your life with is most important, and that's near to the heart of God as well. That first woman was called Eve because she was taken from man. I do not believe this is a myth or a made-up story. I believe this is factual. I believe this is more scientific than any scientific theory that would ever be brought to the forefront by the scientific community. Eve was the first woman. She was the mother of all of humanity. She had a lot of pains and problems in her life, and she started out kind of rough. She and Adam, yet in innocency, were dressing the garden that God placed them in, but God gave them one prohibition. You may not take and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil came down in the form of a serpent and tempted her. And you say, is it possible for the serpent to speak? The Bible says so. I believe it. That settles it. I believe it's absolutely factual. And she didn't think it was unusual. And he spoke to her. One of my favorite preachers from down in Mississippi. Down in Mississippi. Natchez. Years ago. Brother Crumpton used to preach a sermon called Four Knots in the Devil's Tail. And the knots are N-O-T, knots. You will not die, N-O-T. All right? And the tail is T-A-L-E. So the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And he lied to her. And she stumbled. And as she stumbled, so her husband stumbled. And they fell into sin. We read about that. The curse was placed upon them, and ever since then. And yet the Bible puts the responsibility on at the doorstep of the husband. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. From the time of Adam to the present, the sin nature has been passed to every succeeding generation through the Father. I don't know if you knew your father, if your father was close to you, what kind of relationship you might have had, but everybody had a father. There's one exception to that. There was one that was born without an earthly father. His name is Jesus Christ. There was no sin nature. There was nothing in the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that you could point to and say was a flaw or a sin, because he had no human father that passed along the sin nature. Instead, his Father is God the Father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important for this preacher to preach the truth, so you know why it's that way. Every one of us got a sin nature. We get old enough to sin accountably. We become guilty before God. Now, during those years prior to knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, we're as close to Adam and Eve were in their innocency as we ever will be. We're sinners. We're sinners by nature, but we're not sinning accountably until we know the difference. I want to show you, here's an example of a woman who was innocent, but was tempted and succumbed to temptation. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and beyond, that she was deceived. She was deceived. I got to ask, when it comes to responsibility, why wasn't Adam there punching out the lights of that serpent? I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know that I'll ask Adam that question when I get to heaven. I have no idea what the answer is, but I got to tell you right now, God has given us roles and responsibilities within the context of the home. And even back in those very beginnings of Genesis, we understand how important it is. And what should we be doing? We should be walking by faith, not by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? It means not to live according to the instincts and the directives of our five physical senses. There we have, as she looked, it says in chapter number 3 of Genesis and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She was exercising her five senses. Listen to me. Every time, whether you are, and we are not, in innocency, we're sinners. Every time you succumb to the temptation of the flesh. It says over in 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what went on there in the Garden of Eden. And we see that rerun and rerun and relived again and again and again, today and tomorrow and the next. This morning, this afternoon, tonight, wherever it may be, we find ourselves in a situation where we are tempted to sin. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is going to offer us and give us the opportunity, a way to escape. Praise God. We will not be tempted above that which we are able, but with the temptation, He'll give us a way to escape that. Eve is a picture of a person in innocence who falls into sin. And she had to come by way of the blood of the Lamb as it was pictured then, chapter 4 and beyond. And ever since then, every single person who has ever been born in the world, with the exception of Jesus Christ, who was virgin born, every one of us has to deal with this thing of sin. We need to walk by faith, not by sight, not by our five senses, not by the things that seem good or that appear to be good or appeal to our senses. We need to walk by faith. What is that? If the Bible were to say that we're standing on our heads and that the moon is made out of cheese, that we should believe that. But it doesn't say that. Everything in the Bible is teaching us correctly. It's in agreement with all that we find in the world around us. So science is the observation and the declaring of certain laws and principles. We didn't create this world. Somebody comes along and they say, well, you know, if I were God, I'd do this. If I were God, well, why don't you create your own world? Well, sure, give me some dirt to create. No, you got to make your own dirt. You got to start from scratch. God created ex nihilo. That means out of nothing. Out of nothing. There's only one being in the universe that can do that. That's God Almighty. And you and I will come along in God's perfect plan and in His will and be blessed and be a blessing the sooner we realize that He's God and we're not. Now, there are some false teachers today that say, hey, you're just God's, you're all part of, you know, and they're teaching something that's not from the Bible, that's not even Christian. It is cultic. It's been absorbed from paganism, from Eastern mysticism, and they're disguising it as a form of Christianity, of great faith and so forth, name it, claim it, etc. And it's absolutely not true. Faith is believing what God says in His Word. Faith is stepping out and believing what God says. Walk by faith and not by sight. Why did God give us sight? Why did He give us taste? So that we can observe, obviously, and experience all the normal things that are in His perfect will. Guys, sit up, listen to me now. This is important. You're going to have experiences in your life you can't blame God for because you ventured where you shouldn't be. You said and did things you should not have. You went with people you should not have. And that temptation is going to be out there. Not too many churches today are using the occasion of Mother's Day to preach on sin. I'm sorry, a little bit later, we'll have more to say about that. But the truth of the matter is we've all got that sin challenge, every one of us. And so we need to walk by faith and not by sight. There's a second woman I want you to recognize today with me. She's found over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And we'll begin in chapter number 16. She's Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. And we read about a wicked king. His name is Ahab. Verse 33, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And what did he do? He married the daughter of King Ethbaal, and she was a pagan, and she brought all kinds of pagan religion into Israel, profaned everything that was holy, and put to death all those that attempted to live godly, and threatened the prophet of God, Elijah. And so in the course of time, Jezebel started out as a wicked, Satan-worshipping, a demonic leader, not worthy of leading God's people. And she eventually came under the curse of God. And Jehu anointed the young son of the prophet to go and tell Jezebel that the dogs would eat her. And then you know the story, long story short, in 1 Kings, then in 2 Kings, that she was thrown down out of the window, the dogs ate her, and there was nothing left of her, just the palms of her hands, and that was it. She was eaten by the dogs, and it was a terrible, terrible thing. There we have an example, not of somebody who began in innocency like Eve, but somebody who began with their eyes wide open and went deeper and deeper and deeper into sin and died and went to a devil's hell. Now, we have another woman who is mentioned this time in the New Testament. I want you to go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We're going to draw all of these together in just a moment. We're going to see the pattern thereof in Acts chapter 5. New Testament, Acts chapter 5, and beginning at verse number 1. It's New Testament church. They're starting out in the previous chapter. There's a fellow by the name of Barnabas. He's going to be important later on, but he's a Levite, the country of Cyprus. He had land, he sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It's always good to give to the Lord. He owns everything. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So it's always good. But it says in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, starts with the conjunction, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. Then they lied. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied about it and said part of the money was the whole amount of money. And we're going to see what happens. It says in verse number 10, after Peter had spoken to her and addressed her and told her about her husband who had been struck dead, then she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as has heard these things. All right, with Eve we have a woman who is beginning in innocency. She ends up being a sinner. She has to trust the blood of Jesus Christ who would come one day. We have Jezebel who starts out as a daughter of the devil, never changes her direction whatsoever, continues to do sinful things and lead sinfully, and she dies and she's eaten by dogs and her soul goes to hell. Then we have Sapphira, who is a professing believer, a member of the first church, when all the miracles are going on, when all of the evangelization is taking place and thousands are being saved, baptized, and added to the church, and she's seeing all of this, and then she sees Barnabas come and give his money, and they decide to sell a piece of property and hold back some of it and yet say that it's all of it. They could have done whatever they wanted with it when it was theirs, but when they gave it and lied about it, that's when God had to do something. And you say, how drastic action that was, that her husband, Ananias, and she, Sapphira, would fall dead in the presence of the church. It was the beginning of the church. And God had to do things in a graphic way so as to stop that thing in its tracks. And I promise you, that stopped it in its tracks. In the Philippines, early on, when General Pershing was stationed there, and some of the Islamic militants that were in those days killing American soldiers and killing others that were favorable to the United States, they had to take some radical action. They caught 50 of the Moro insurrectionists, and they lined them up. They tied them up for execution because these were bloodthirsty throat cutters. And the first thing they did was they went out and got a bunch of pigs. They slaughtered those pigs with all the blood and entrails. Laid it out in front of those Islamic militants. Then each of those who were on the firing squad, 49, not 50, 49, took their bullets, dipped them in the pig blood. Then they took the entrails and threw them in the pit where those bodies were going to be thrown. Then they loaded up their weapons. And on the firing squad order, 49 rifles sounded. 49 Islamic terrorists dropped dead. Bullets having been dipped in pig blood. One was spared. He was set free to tell the rest. There was not a major attack upon America for decades after that because the warning was so graphic. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes when God puts his foot down and makes an exclamation point and says, pay attention, he means listen up, pay attention. He means business. There was once a city somewhere near the Dead Sea. It was called Sodom. They were told, they were warned. Fire and brimstone came down. They've now found what they believe is the wreckage of that city. Not where they used to think it was at the south, but maybe up at the north end of the lake. And there is a layer of ash and soot about 5 foot deep where there should be a civilization where the archaeologists have dug. And that is a reminder that God said, that's not the way to live. That's not the way to be. Get out of Sodom. Get out of Sodom. Get out of Sodom. He's saying the same to us today. Eve was born in innocency. She was tempted and fell into sin. She had to trust the blood. Jezebel, a daughter of the devil, lived that way, died that way, was eaten by dogs, went to hell. Sapphira was a professing believer. We don't know her heart's condition, but we know that God wasn't going to allow any foolishness, and they were struck dead. God's drawing a line in the sand right now. We need some moms. We need some ladies. We need some dads. We need some men. We need some boys. We need some girls who'll stand up and say, I am going to live God's way. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I said there were four women. I'm going to give you the fourth and last. We're still in the book of Acts, New Testament. Let's go there. Book of Acts, chapter 18. Book of Acts, chapter 18. This deserves, each one of these deserve a complete message. But I'm combining it today to draw it all together so you understand. In Acts chapter 18, Paul is at Corinth. It says in verse number 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, that's the Roman emperor, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Listen to me. There's nothing new under the sun. God's Old Testament covenant people are the Jews. They have been hated from that time until this. You're seeing it on college campuses. You're seeing it in many segments of society. I can only tell it like it is. I know this doesn't make me popular. I don't care to be popular. I want to answer what the Word of God says. I want to speak the truth in love. The Jews are God's chosen people. Everything prophetic keys off of the Jews. You better understand that and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Aquila and Priscilla were kicked out of here and kicked out of there. They were going throughout the Roman Empire at that time. The Jews were coming under anti-Semite influence, and so they moved on. They came to Corinth, and there they hooked up, as it says in verse 3, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. Paul came and lived with them, wrought for their occupation. They were tent makers. They had this in common. And four times in the New Testament, at least, we have references to Priscilla. There was a young man by the name of Apollos. He was preaching, and they heard him preaching, and they brought him into their home and showed hospitality, and they showed him how to follow the Lord more correctly, more perfectly, the Scripture says. They showed hospitality. Why, even when Paul is greeting all of those that he has known and crossed paths with during his earthly ministry in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, greet, instead of saying Priscilla, he says Prisca. That was a familiar name. Greet Prisca and Aquila, and those that are of the house of Onesiphorus. Because the church was meeting where they were living. They opened up their house. Can you imagine every Sunday sweeping everything up and setting everything up and having the whole church come to your house and have church? That's what they did. You say, how can that be? Because Priscilla is not Eve, and Priscilla is not Jezebel, and Priscilla is not Sapphira. Priscilla is walking by faith and not by sight. She's putting aside her own comfort. She's putting aside her own desires. She's putting aside her own will, and she is living for Jesus, a life that is true. That's what we need. Women, yes. Men, yes. Boys, yes. Girls, yes. Who will walk by faith and not by sight. Let's take from these four something of each and let us learn. Let us learn that even though Eve fell, there was a way. There's a way that seems right unto a man. And her son Cain thought by bringing the fruit of his hands that would be enough. But her son Abel brought the blood of the lamb, and it's still the blood that cleanses from sin. It's still the blood that makes us clean within. It's still the blood that'll save your soul. It's still the blood that's going to take you all the way home. Amen and amen. Jezebel, wicked. Listen, I'm not saying she couldn't be saved, but she wouldn't be, and she wasn't. And she gives us an example of what not to be. And maybe some of the lessons you've learned along the path in your life have been what not to be. Sapphira had every opportunity to be generous with God. Think about that. Started out to be generous, ended up being greedy, ended up dying for it on the spot. God's drawing a line in the sand, and he's saying, I need my people to be holy, for I am holy. I need my people to be righteous and right by the grace of God. I need my people to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's Priscilla. That's Priscilla today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking today. How many of you would say, preacher, something in the message spoke to my heart today? Slip your hand up high. Let me see it. Something spoke to my heart. Amen. We're going to open up the invitation in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to slip out from where you are. Come on down here. As you come, I want you to kneel down. If you're coming alone or if you're coming with somebody, kneel down as a family or as a couple and have a word of prayer. We're going to be singing Just As I Am. And as we do, you just come without hesitation on this Mother's Day. You come on. Thank God for mothers. Just come on and pray that God will help you to be what you ought to be for His glory and do what you ought to do for His glory. Today, if you've never been saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. If you're not 100% positive that heaven is your home, then pray from your heart to God right now. Every young person, every adult, if you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home, pray right now. Dear God, pray from your heart. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. I believe Jesus died to save me. Right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, as my personal Savior. Please take away my sins. Please take away my sins and take me to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, slip your hand up high. Let me see it right now. I prayed that prayer. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you, when the music starts to play, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come down and shake my hand and say, I prayed that prayer. I'll have someone show you from the Bible how to be a victorious Christian, how to have victory and success in your life and know God's will for your life and have a wonderful, wonderful life. Now that your sins are under the blood of Jesus and you've been saved, you've got a wonderful life ahead of you. If you've never come forward, I want you to come on this invitation and say, I've been saved, I've prayed, or I want to be baptized, or I want to join the church, whatever your decision might be. But come and pray, And if you don't need to speak to me about those decisions, then come and kneel down and join the others who'll be praying. Just stand to your feet. I want moms and dads and boys and girls and folks to come. Just stand to your feet and come as the music is playing, just as I... Heaven shook and hell just trembled when Mama prayed for me. Battle lines drawn, demons assembled against Mama on her knees. Mama wouldn't let the powers of evil win, for she wouldn't let her boy be lost in sin. Yes, she prevailed, and what a sweet victory when Mama prayed for me. Now I'm saved and Satan's defeated, for Mama prayed for me. You keep praying till the job's completed, just stay on your knees. Mama wouldn't let the powers of evil win, for she wouldn't let her boy be lost in sin. Yes, she prevailed, and what a sweet victory when Mama prayed for me. Mama wouldn't let the powers of evil win, for she wouldn't let her boy be lost in sin. Yes, she prevailed, and what a sweet victory when Mama prayed for me.